The new movie Booksmart is about two best friends, two girls, top of their high school class, overachievers headed to the Ivy League. And the night before graduation, one of them has an epiphany.
We chose. We didn't party because we wanted to focus on school and get into good colleges.
And it worked.
But the irresponsible people who partied also got into those colleges. They did both.
So?
So we messed up. We didn't have to choose. They did both.
Thus is hatched a plan. Molly and Amy set out to cram 4 years of everything they have missed out on into one night.
We have to go to a party tonight.
What?
Let's go to Nick's party.
Are you kidding? No, no way.
We only have one night left to have studied and partied in high school. Otherwise, we're just going to be the girls that missed out.
That is the stunningly simple premise of Booksmart, which hits theaters today. But if the premise is simple, the director's ambitions are not. Olivia Wilde says she wants the film to be a generational anthem. And Olivia Wilde joins us now. Hi there.
Hello.
You set yourself a completely unambitious goal here, making a generational anthem of a movie. Tell me what you mean by that. What's it mean?
Well, you know, I made this movie as a love letter to the movies I grew up on, and in fact, the movies that made me fall in love with film.
Like what?
I grew up watching The Breakfast Club and Say Anything, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Clueless. Those movies were more than just movies to me. They kind of contextualized the adolescent experience for me. They made me excited to be young. And that was my goal with this movie. It was to allow this young generation, Generation Z, to feel that they had been kind of immortalized.
So this is not your generation, exactly. I should mention you're in your 30s. How did you go about trying to make a movie that would feel like the really authentic voice of a generation that you're not part of?
Well, I was lucky enough to have a cast that actually does come from this young generation, and I really wanted them to infuse their characters with their own voices and their own ideas. And when I hired them, I brought them together and said, we're going to read the script, and every time something feels inauthentic, I want you to raise your hand and tell me. If there's a moment that you think could sound more organic, I just want you to rewrite it in your own voice. Like, there used to be a line in the script where Molly said to Amy, you've been out for 2 years and you've never had a lesbian experience. I want that for you. And when we were rehearsing, the girls called me over and said, you know, Liv, we don't really say lesbian experience. We would just say experience.
You've been out for 2 years and you've never kissed a girl. I want you to experience this.
Whereas, you know, 10 to 13 years ago, when I was playing a young queer woman on network television on The OC, it was a very different conversation. It was all about owning labels and being very upfront about labels.
Yeah, the script. I saw you've been through a zillion drafts, even more than I gather is typical in Hollywood. And the original one was from a decade ago, from 2009.
Yes.
And the country has changed so much. Did the script have to change so much to feel authentic and relevant now?
Yes, the script's really evolved. When I came on board in 2016, it was ripe for another rewrite, and I wanted to update it to allow it to really reflect what I was hearing from young people today.
Can you give me an example of what changed?
Well, yes, the notion that the other students had also gotten into really good colleges, that was an important one for us because we wanted to show that this film was also discussing judgment and the idea of putting one another into categories.
You open the movie with that, with Molly thinking about how she's looking down on everyone who's ever
exactly
given her grief, and she's going to yell and she's going to show them all.
Stand atop the mountain of your success and look down at everyone who's ever doubted you.
Whereas you think this is going to be a movie about two nerdy young women who are eager to assimilate, to be accepted by their peers, what it really is a story of two very smart young women who are unapologetic about their intelligence, who go through a transformation to realize that they have misunderstood their peers to be one-dimensional, when actually everyone around them is also very smart. They've just been living their lives differently.
Okay, so let's talk about Molly and Amy, because their friendship, which is fierce, which is brutally honest, this lovely female friendship is the heart of the movie. They, like probably pretty much all best friends, sometimes talk in code.
I'm calling Malala.
Wow. You know you only get like one Malala a year.
Yeah, I'm calling it. Full support, no questions asked, you are coming with me.
Malala is their code word for unconditional support. So what Malala means is that what I'm asking you to do now with me, you must do.
Is this related to Malala Yousafzai from Pakistan?
Yes, of course.
Who's one of their role models.
Of course. Malala is one of their great role models. Okay. And I think that's why she holds the most significant place in their friendship. The idea that if you call Malala, you must really mean it.
But it's so lovely because it speaks to that, you know, if you love me, if you're loyal to me, if you're really my best friend, you're just going to trust me on this one and follow where I'm saying
Absolutely.
We need to go.
But that's an interesting thing. The movie also deals with loyalty and betrayal, because I think there is something in these very intense friendships in our youth where any sort of resistance is seen as betrayal. And there's a pivotal scene in the film where one character reveals that she isn't actually on board with the plan that the other thought they had agreed upon. And in that moment, there's a crack in between this very, very intense union. And I wanted to highlight that kind of trauma to a young relationship is something that is necessary in order for relationships to evolve and for us as individuals to evolve. You must be able to tell your closest ally, I disagree with you. I am my own individual.
I read that on the set you all talked about how intense these friendships are. That's your very first best friend, your first soulmate.
Yes.
And that a lot of people ended up reaching out and calling their old high school besties, even ones they had lost touch with over the years. I love that.
It's really great. And people leave and they call their best friend, who they realize is the person who got them through what is a very confusing time in adolescence. I think of that friend as being the person who knew you better than your parents, the person who really allowed you to be vulnerable and in so many ways was more intense and intimate than the romantic relationships starting around that time or that followed after that.
It's fascinating because you feel like the romantic relationship is the everything in that moment,
exactly.
But it's your best friend who you're still going to be calling decades later.
And society gives us, you know, so much context for the romantic relationship. We have very few love songs, movies, stories about friendship, platonic friendship, and yet it is in so many ways deeper. Those friendships are incredibly significant. And I hope that this film allows people to look around them and value those friendships even more.
Mm. I think our takeaway from this interview is going to be go call your best friend from high school. Catch up and say hi.
Exactly.
Olivia Wilde. She is director of Booksmart, which hits cinemas today. Olivia Wilde, thank you so much. This was a pleasure.
Thank you so much. It's a real honor.